Matthew 11. Matthew 11, and the title of the sermon is Take Courage. Take Courage, but in the introduction we're going to look at a couple verses where it explains God's blessing on us and God's smile on us and God's favor on us. And if we, I guess just like we accept the fact that if we pray and ask Jesus to save us, He does. By faith we accept that, and He says that He will keep us saved, so by faith we accept that. So if we go through life, God will bless us, and God will smile upon us, and He will give us His favor, and then we can take courage in that. Like courage, a lot of times it's not like a special power like a superhero might have, you know, where this person can fly, or this person can see a long ways, or this person. So it's not like that God gives individual Christians, some of them, courage, and that's their special power. We can all have courage, and we ought to all to have it and take advantage of it and so forth. But again, we know that if we, I guess, put the humanity emphasis on that, it would be more like being reckless. You know, or he's not scared of anything, or she's not scared of anything, and they'll try anything, things like that. That's not the type of courage we're talking about here. I mean, I guess the same connotation is there, but we can have courage that God is going to bless us and smile upon us, has favor. So we'll start here in the introduction, Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. It says here, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So this is a promise that if we serve God and we're, I guess, get maybe weary. The Bible says, "Be not weary in well doing," things like that. But we do get tired. Trying to serve the Lord, trying to live a good Christian life in this world, we can get tired, we can get frustrated, we can, you know, basically like maybe banging our head against the wall, things like that. But the Bible says here in verse 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so a lot of times, we talked about this earlier, I can't remember how long ago, how that sleep is important, and sleep is if you've worked hard and you're tired, it helps you have better sleep. If you're right with God, obviously, it helps you have better sleep, things like that. So we need to go to God when we're tired. If we finished up a long journey, or if we finished up a tiring job, things like that, we can go to God and trust in Him, and He will take care of us. Verse 29 says here, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And so, again, God's saying here, I'm not asking you to do something that I'm not going to help you with. The Bible promises that he that begun a good work in you will finish it. I'm paraphrasing there. So if he asks you to do something, if he asks you to be an example, or if he asks you to be a good Christian, if he asks you to be an example in this world, things like that, he's like, hey, it'll be a lot easier if you'll get yoked up with me. And of course, we don't use yokes much these days. If we do have an opportunity to plow something, we're usually going to crank up some big tractor and things like that, and drive it with some harrows behind it or something like that. But back in the day when they used animals to plow with, they used yokes. And of course, it was easier on the two animals if there was two of them. And they were yoked up together. It made it lighter, made it easier, made it a little bit more effortless. So Jesus is saying here, just take my yoke upon me, and because I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And then verse 30 says here, "For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. So we're going to have burdens, we're going to have tasks that we have to do, but be encouraged, take courage. If He wants to help you. He wants to help you be successful. He wants to help you succeed in what you're doing, things like that. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:15, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard." So again, this is what he's saying is, if you have a good understanding that you're right with me, you're in my will, you're serving me like that I wanted you to, and you're yoked up with me, it's going to be easier. But if you're resisting that, if you're running from that, they call it, running from God or backsliding, things like that, the way of the transgressor is hard. So if we're, you know, maybe it's a, you know, a huge task. I can't do this, but I can do all things through Christ. I get that yoke. We can go forward. But if I'm going to sin by not doing God's will and sin by not doing what He created me to do, then life is going to be hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. The power of the right decision. The power of a right decision is very powerful. And I'll give you an example. It says here, you can handle, you can have it the easy way, or you can have it the hard way. That's what that verse is saying. Good understanding giveth favor. God's blessing, God's favor, God's smile. But the way of the transgressor is hard. So if I make a good decision based on Bible principles, based on the leading of the Holy Spirit, based on what I feel like God wants me to do, even though it might be terribly hard, it'll be easy because it'll be with His help. But then if I say, forget what God thinks, I don't really care, I want to do my own thing, I'm choosing this way, the Bible says the way of the transgressor is going to be hard. It is going to be like you're beating your head against the wall. So we preach the sermon, the three most important decisions you'll ever make, your salvation. It's get an understanding. I'm lost, or I'm a sinner, that means I'm lost. There's a payment. Jesus paid for it. I got saved. I chose that. That was easy. He made it easy. Mate for life. Obviously, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It was easy for me to say, okay, God, there's lots of pretty girls out there, but I want the one You created for me. So I'm just going to give You the choice. I have a little plaque in there. I haven't hung it up yet, but it says, God gives the best of those that leave the choices to Him. I like that statement. And I believe He did that for me. I was like, God, I don't want to pick. I want You to pick, and He led me to the right one. So it's easy if you let, if He's involved. The power of a right decision is powerful. Finding God's will for your life, your occupation, your life's work, what you become. Those are easy things to do when we give them to God. So we see that was introduction. Now I wish I could give you some courage. Brother Dan always has his little bags of candy. I like the white ones with the red stripes. Amen. And he's giving those to you. And he gives you a choice. You want some cinnamon? You want some Starburst, I think those are called? And he might slip up a couple other ones in there. He gives you a choice. I wish I could have a baggage of courage and say, or a little baggie of courage and say, here, take some courage. And, take two and call me in the morning. No, I'm just kidding. You take that and swallow it and everything will work fine. But the Bible does say, take courage. A doctor will tell you, you have a sinus infection. Take these antibiotics take this remedy and things like that and so forth. So if we want life to be easy, if we want life to, didn't say it would be perfect, didn't say it wouldn't be difficult sometimes, but it'll be easier if we'll take this courage. And so what we got to do, we got to do right, find God's will, and it is a choice. In Acts 28:15, you can turn there or I will read it to you. Paul is speaking here, or he gets to take a choice. We're talking about Paul, I guess. And it says here in the latter part, I guess 28:15b. And it says, in the last part, it says, in whom, when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And so again, it's a choice. It's right there for you, and you got to take it. You got to take that courage, just like you have to take salvation, just like you have to make right choices. Courage is a choice. Courage is a mental or moral strength, and it will help you. It will preserve you. It will help you withstand danger and fear and difficulty. So when Paul saw what was going on here, he took courage. He didn't freak out. He didn't have a panic attack. He didn't run, call for his mommy. He didn't suck his thumb. He didn't grab his whoopee or his little blankie and, No, he took courage. And so this is what a Christian has to do. The devil's going to make it frightening. He's going to make it where we think, oh, no, I can't do this. I want to revert back to being a child, things like that. But we have to take courage. And Paul saw it when he saw what was going on. He thanked God and he said, I'll just take some courage. And he took courage, and we're going to see several places in the Bible where it tells us about courage, and I guess maybe employs us to get courage and have courage and things like that, and what it'll do for us. That's what we're going to look at tonight. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to realize that the Bible does say I can do all things through Christ, not all things through myself. I'm not supposed to be courageous about me or have courage about how awesome I am or what I can do, but I can have that courageous and that courage in what you can do. And Lord, I just ask you to help us to learn from the Bible tonight so we can be a courageous Christian in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see that 1 Thessalonians 5:18, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, in everything give thanks. That's a hard thing. When somebody gives you a $100 bill, that's easy to be thankful. Wow, I appreciate it. Thank you. That's easy. But when somebody says, you owe me $100, that's hard to be thankful. Ugh. The Bible says, in everything give thanks. And so even when it comes, I guess maybe a difficulty comes in our life, something we don't understand, we're supposed to be thankful for it and say, I want to have courage in God to go through this situation. And I'm thankful for the opportunity that I have to trust in God. I'm thankful that He's doing something. He's trying to teach me something. And I'm supposed to be thankful about it. What the devil wants us to do, and even our flesh wants to do sometimes, is sulk, be mad, react, be ill with people, things like that. But Paul was saying here, he thanked God when he saw what was going on. He thanked God for the situation, and he took him some courage. So in that same chapter, a couple of verses sooner than the 15, we won't take time to read it, but it basically tells us of Paul, he's going to put some wood on the fire. And some of you, you've built campfires before, or you have a fireplace in your house, and you add a log to the fire. It helps it go longer, it helps it get hotter, things like that. And that's what he was doing. And when he did, the Bible says a serpent jumped out of the fire and latched onto his hand. Okay? And again, it's hard to be thankful to God when a snake bites you. But he was. He was like, I don't know why this has happened. I'm not happy that it happened. But in everything, give thanks. I'm thankful. And I'm trying to see, and I'm going to take courage here and try to learn what God is trying to teach me. And of course, we know that he did not die, even though it was a venomous snake. He did not die. He prayed and asked God to help him, and God healed him of that. And he went on. And so, of course, that would give you courage after the fact. I got bit by a snake, and I didn't die. God's got me, so I have courage. No. He took courage before the outcome was known of him. He's like, I thank God. I saw what happened, and I'm going to just take courage and trust in God. And so he was able to, after the fact, you go on down through the chapter, and we see here, because of that, he was serving God, and he was able actually to pray and through the power of God heal some people. In verse 30, it says here that he dwelt 2 years in a hired house. In other words, a place that he had rented on the side of some people's house and things like that. And he was preaching the gospel with confidence. And so again, we see he took some courage. He had the understanding about it, and that gave him confidence. And so when we look at Christians, maybe you're a little further down the road than we are, maybe a little bit more mature Christian than we are, seems to have it a little bit more together than we do, things like that. We're saying, man, they seem to have confidence, almost to the cockiness. Me and God, we're a majority, things like that. This is where Paul had gotten to, and he preached the kingdom of God with confidence. And of course, we know that the Apostle Paul started lots of churches, did a lot of great things and things like that. Why? Because he decided, I'm going to just be thankful for whatever goes on in my life. I'm going to take the courage that I need, that I can do all things through Christ, and go forward. So we're going to look at seven places here real quick where the Bible talks about courage. And again, don't look at courage as a superhero power that you might can have. It is divine. It is biblical. So number one, courage is a divine nerve. Courage is a divine nerve. Joshua 1, several verses in Joshua 6, 7, 9, and 18. I will read them to you, or you can turn over there. We're going to see where it talks about courage, and it is a divine nerve. A lot of times when we think, man, that person's courageous or they have a lot of courage, we think it's all about them. In other words, they'll jump out of an airplane, you know, hopefully with a parachute, or they'll they're not scared of animals, or they just have courage, they're tough, they're this. And again, it's not about us. It's a divine courage when it comes to the Christian life. We don't say, that person, they're not scared to go door knocking, or they're not scared to do this, or they're not scared to do that. It's a divine nerve that they have. And we see in Joshua 1, verse 6, it says here, "Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance, and the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them." So Joshua, obviously Moses told him, said, "You take them across. You go over there and you conquer that." Even though that, several of them said we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers against them and they're going to just destroy us, things like that. But God promised us that and let's go. And so the two that had courage, again, it wasn't a superpower. It was divine nerve. They trusted God. And he said, "You go over there and you divide that land for an inheritance, which I give you." Verse 7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law which Moses, my servant, command thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whether thou goest." So again, they had divine nerve crossing the Jordan and conquering that land. Why? Not because they thought they could do it. Not because they had any special power, but they were just trusting in God. And the reason they could trust in God, it says here that they had decided to do everything the Bible said. So when we see somebody that has maybe what we call divine nerve or spiritual confidence, it's in the Word of God. It's what God has promised them. It's not in their own abilities. It's not in their superpower. It is in their trust of God. And he said, you do whatever the Bible says, whatever Moses preached to you out of the law, you do it and don't turn from it, that thou mayest prosper. The reason we're going to prosper is because we're doing what the Bible says. The reason we're going to make it is because we're doing what the Bible says. The reason we're going to be successful is because we're doing what the Bible says. Verse 9, "Have not I commanded thee, be thou strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord God is with thee, whether thou goest, whithersoever thou goest." So again, this divine nerve that they had, this confidence that they had, this courage they had, it was, again, by trusting God, by doing what the Bible said, and listening to, obviously, Joshua and so forth, and said here, be not dismayed, neither be afraid. I don't think I can. No, we can't be that way. The people that go through life and they don't have those, "I can't do it." Seems like they have nerve that we don't know what it's talking about. It's divine nerve. Verse 18 says this, "Whosoever he that doeth rebel against the commandment." The ones that are not going to have the confidence and the courageousness, they're rebelling. "And they're not hearkening unto the words in all that thou commandest him, and he shall put to death." So for you just be strong and be of good courage. So we have to have that divine nerve. When I preach a sermon or when I go door knocking, again, I'm not going in my strength. I'm going in his strength. I'm not going in my abilities. I'm going in His power. And that's where that divine nerve comes from. Again, somebody says, I've never door knocked or I've never passed out a track. I just don't know. Again, if you try to do it in your own power, you're never going to be successful at that. But if you ask God and say, all right, just like these guys said, Moses said do this, the Bible says do this, I'm going to do every jot and every tittle, everything the Bible says. Therefore, God's going to be with me, and I have confidence. I have courage. So same with us. So we see here it's a divine nerve. Number two, courageous. Not only is a divine nerve that enables us to go forward with the Lord's bidding in spite of any obstacle, it also, courage is a fiber to a moral nature that we will gladly keep His word. And the Bible says in Joshua 23, verse 6, talking about that fiber. Again, it makes me think of bread, but I think it's more like a fiberglass fiber, like a boat. It's all put in there, and then it's lacquered and all that kind of stuff, and it locks it in there. So when we can have courage, it's like a woven together fiberglass to give us strength. And Joshua 23:6 says this, "But ye, therefore, very courageous, to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that ye not turn aside, therefore, from the right hand or the left." And of course, there are several other verses in there. After that, verse 8 tells us to cleave unto the Lord. In other words, be tight with Him. Cleave unto the Lord. Be woven together. It also says in verse 11 to take good heed of yourself and that you love God. Verse 12 tells us that we cleave and do not go back. And so again, this is why if we take courage, it'll be like that divine nerve that we have. We will be woven together in God, cleaving to His Word. And number three, not only is courage a divine nerve, and it's a woven fiber, it also is a helm. A helm, H-E-L-M. Of course, if you know anything about ships, there's that helm that directs it. And so a person that's taken courage, like Paul, it seems like they do the right thing. They say the right thing. They behave the right way. What's guiding them? It's that small, obviously, helm of courage. Not in themselves, not a secret power, but in God. So courage is a helm that keeps us straight, regardless of the storms that we may encounter. Deuteronomy 31:6 says this, "Be strong and of good courage, fear not, and be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doeth go with thee, and He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." So again, we see several places in the Bible here talking about courage. And just like you take a piece of candy from Brother Dan, or you take salvation from Jesus Christ, you can take courage just like Paul did. He's like, "I'm thankful, I took courage, and God did great things." Here's another one, says right here, that He will go with us. He will not fail us. So we will take God and let Him be our guide. Number four, courage is the secret to finishing. Courage is the secret to finishing. 1 Chronicles 22:13. Then it says, or "Then shalt thou prosper if," and there's several verses in the Bible that have that huge word right there. It's a two-letter word, but it's huge. If. If you repent and get saved, if, you'll go to heaven. If you don't, you'll die and go to hell. Big if there. There's a lot riding on that if. If we ask God for guidance and strength and ability, He will give it to us. If we try to do things in our own power, we're going to fall flat of our face. Big if. So same thing here. It says, "Then thou shalt prosper if thou shalt takest heed to fulfill thy statutes and judgments." A lot of these verses talk about doing what the Bible says. "Which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage." Then it goes here, a new one that we haven't looked at yet. It says, "Dread not, nor be dismayed." A lot of times, as Christians, we know what we're supposed to do. We just dread it. "I can't do that. I just don't have that." And we dread it. But a person that doesn't dread it, they've taken advantage of that if. Thou shalt prosper if you do everything that the Bible tells you to do and trust the Lord. Take that courage. Dread not. So showing feeling of alarm and concern, upset or worry, that's what dread or dismay means. So it's the secret of finishing what God has asked you to do. 1 Chronicles 28:20. "And David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it." So obviously Solomon was talking just do it before Nike was. But it says here, "David said unto Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it." So a lot of times we know what we should do. And that little bit of courage that we have in there that God's given us, "Well, I should do that." Just go ahead and do it. Take that step. Do it. "Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until He has finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." So we see here it's the secret. Courage is the secret of finishing what God wants you to do. The next one we see here, courage is a fire. Number five, courage is a fire, or you can put in parentheses, holy zeal. Holy zeal. So courage, again, a lot of people are fiery. They're fiery with their sports teams, they're fiery with their job, they're fiery with their personality, and it is pretty much them. But we can have fire from God, and it will be a holy zeal, just like that divine nerve. Just because you don't have sense doesn't mean you are courageous. You have to have nerve. But we see here in 2 Chronicles 15:8, talking about that fire, that holy zeal. Verse 8 says this, 2 Chronicles 15:8, "And when Asa heard these words..." So why did they have fire? Because they'd heard the words. The words of what? The words of the Bible. When we hear the Word of God, that gives us fuel for our fire. Then it goes on to say, "And the prophecy of Oded the prophet." So not only did they have fire and holy zeal because they'd heard the Bible, but they'd heard the prophet. And what had the prophet been doing? He'd been doing preaching. By the foolishness of preaching. Preaching gives us courage. When you hear a message on soul winning, it gives us courage to go soul winning. When we hear a message on read your Bible through in a year, it gives us courage to do that. And when we hear a preaching on, live a separated life, be what God wants you to be, that gives us courage to do that. So we see it's that holy zeal, that holy fire that we have when we hear the Word of God, when we hear it preached. Then it says here, "He took courage and put away." So in other words, that choice. You're always going to have a choice. Either take some courage, or take some your own philosophy. Take some courage, or take your own skill set. No, take some courage. And we see, he says in verse 8, that he took courage and he put away the sin. He put away the self, and he put away his own understanding, and he was seeking God's. And then it says here, "The abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from the Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was on the porch of the Lord." So we see here that he had holy zeal. He took courage and he renewed. Now the Bible tells us that we ought to renew our mind and read the Bible and renew and stay focused and stay fueled up and renew. And so we ought to take advantage of these places where we get that holy zeal. So as a 17-year-old boy going to church for the first time, I appreciated the fact that my preacher was excited about what he was saying. He had fire. He did raise his voice. He may even hit the pulpit every once in a while. And so as a 17-year-old, I'm like, man, he's got something. And it was holy zeal. Again, it wasn't something he worked up. It wasn't some pill he took. It wasn't some concoction that he mixed up and drank it. No, it was holy zeal. It was from being in the Bible. It was from hearing preaching himself. And he renewed that and kept that there. So I thank God for a pastor when I was a teenager that had some fire about him. My dad, he had some fire about him. It may have been misdirected before we got in church. But he had some fire about him. It was, do it the right way, be a man, be tough, all that stuff. He had fire. So I praise the Lord that I had a pastor that had some fire. And I praise the Lord that I had some parents that had a fire. And now I praise the Lord that I got a wife that's got some fire. She'll let me know sometimes. All right? And she can be a little fiery and things like that. But I'm glad it's holy fire. Amen? She'll remind me sometimes and say it the only way she can say it. But praise the Lord that I got a wife with some fire, wants to do what God wants her to do. And that's a great helpmeet. And so we see that Asa, he heard the preaching of Oded and it fired him up. He read the Bible and it fired him up. And he renewed himself and kept himself fired up. Now we'll look at number 6. Not only is courage a holy zeal, courage is also a forerunner of blessing. It's a forerunner of blessing. The times that I've, failed in what God wanted me to do because I didn't take the courage and I didn't fulfill what He wanted to do, there was no blessing. There was, depression maybe. There was, I failed again, things like that. But when I took that courage and I did what God said to do, it was a forerunner of blessing. Why? Because God says, He says it here, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." So I say, I'm going to take that. And I'm going to go and prove Him. And He says, prove me in the Bible. And every time that I've ever taking that little bit of courage and tried to do what God wanted me to do, he showed up and the blessing happened. Now, does people get saved every time I go soul winning? No. But he's proud of me every time I go. And that's a blessing to me. So I took the courage. And, you know, almost every time I go, I have to talk myself into it. I mean, somebody might shoot me. Somebody might cuss me out. Somebody might be mad at me. So I take me some courage. And God said, go house to house, cease not, preach the gospel to every creature. I grab me some of that courage and I go. And sometimes people do get saved. And if they don't, sometimes I get to plant and water. And if they don't, at least he's proud of me. So there's a forerunner of blessing. So if we'll take some courage and go do what he wants us to do, there'll be blessings. Psalm 27:14 says this, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And again, there is verses in the Bible that says, be still and know that I'm God. So sometimes he'll put us in a place where we do have to just be still. He said, don't be taking no courage right now. You just be still. Alright, and know that I'm the Lord. But you know, I believe this verse, sometimes people take it out of context. What are you doing? Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. You know, sitting on your blessed assurance and doing nothing. I'm just waiting on the Lord. I don't think that's what that verse is talking about. Waiting on the Lord is kind of like a waiter or a waitress or a wait staff. They're the busiest people at the restaurant. Why? They're waiting on us. So I believe that's what God's saying here. If you don't know what to do, wait on me, take some courage, and serve him. Just keep serving him. So courage is that forerunner of blessing. Wait on the Lord. Serve him. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, in other words, serve him on the Lord. Psalm 31:24. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. So we can have a blessing if we take some courage. Another place the Bible talks about courage. And the last one we see here, it says in 2 Samuel 10:12, courage is the faith that we have in God. Courage is the faith we have in God. 2 Samuel 10:12 says this, be of good courage and let us play the men. I mentioned this verse in a sermon not too long ago. Be of good courage. Let us play the men. In other words, I don't think I can do it. Well, play like you can. I don't think I can be a good Christian. Well, just play like you can. I remember, again, I used baseball a lot because I loved it. I couldn't play baseball when I got hit in the nose that day, but I looked like a baseball player. You know why? I had the baseball pants on. Back then, I had what they called stirrup socks. You know, you had to put them underneath. I had that. I had the hat. I had the glove. I had the lingo. Hey, batter swing. All right. So I sounded like I could play baseball. I looked like I was supposed to be playing baseball. What I was doing, I was playing like it. So you go up to the batter's box and you stand before the plate. All you do is what you've seen on TV. You might tap the bat on the plate. That doesn't make you a baseball player. It makes you look like you do it. And you put your foot in there and you get it set. Maybe you dig a little hole. You scratch and spit. That's what they do, right? All right. And you do your armbands and your gloves and things like that. I've seen kids, you know, they do the same thing. Nomar Garcia Parra. Anybody know who he is? Used to play for the Red Sox. He had a batting glove routine that he did before he got in the batter's box every time. And I see little kids. All right. What are they doing? They were playing like they were a real baseball player. And if you do that long enough, you know what happens? You become a baseball player. Even if I didn't have the hat on, even if I didn't have those silly-looking socks on, I could play baseball. Why? Because I played like I could forever. That's what he's saying here. Take some courage. Be of good courage. Let us play the men. I want to be a good Christian. Well, play like you're one. Say what you think a good Christian would say. Pray a prayer like a good Christian would pray. Act like a good Christian. And you know what happened? Lo and behold, several years down the road, that's what you'll be doing. Why? Because you took some courage and you played like. It says here, play the men for our people and for our cities. So the people needed somebody to man up. The people needed somebody to have some courage. And the cities. So this was what God had intended back then. He has it intended now. Let's play the men. Let's take some courage. Let's be the right kind of Christians for our community. And it says here, of our God and the Lord doth or do that which seemeth Him good. He'll take care of the rest of it. So again, what we have to do is take some courage and live like we're supposed to live. So in conclusion, we see here Elijah was talking about here and says here, stay active while you're waiting on God. We talked about that a while ago. Make right choices. This is how to have courage. This is how to turn out like God wants you to turn out. So stay active while you're waiting on the Lord. Make right choices. Be willing to serve. Develop loyalty to the Word of God, to the preaching. Take your training serious. Realize success depends on believing and claiming God's promises. So we're going to look at these seven things real quick before we close out here. Number one, we saw courage. Take some courage. What is it? It's a divine nerve. I knew I was this way. If I was going to do something like I was talking about this morning that brought me pain, if I was going to do something that could have caused pain, I had to psych myself up for it. I remember doing a backflip or a 1.5 off a high dive before. The first 5 or 6 times I tried it, I got to the end, and in my mind I was going to flip, all actuality I just jumped off. Like I lost that courage, that nerve that it takes, and you just have to commit and so forth. And so obviously you hit, you do that flip, you have to commit to it. It takes nerve. But this is saying here, divine nerve. In other words, trust God. It don't have to be you. You don't have to work up Christianity. You don't have to work up the nerve to do what God wants you to do. Let it be His. It's divine nerve. Just take some courage and let Him help you go forward. Remember that woven fiber, that courage will help you cleave to God. Just like the man's hand that clave to the sword, God will cleave to you. That helm, courage will help guide you. Courage is that secret thing that will help you finish what God started and let Him finish it. It's also that holy zeal, that fire. It's also a forerunner of blessing. And lastly, we saw that faith or courage is like faith that we have in God. So, take some courage. That's what Paul said. Snake bit me. I'm thankful for that. I lived. I'm really thankful for that. But I took some courage. And I went, and he built several churches, led lots of people to the Lord. Anything that we do successful is going to take courage. But again, let's not have confidence in ourselves, but we can have strong confidence in God, what the Bible says. So I'm not trying to say, okay, let's be so robotic in our Christian life. Let's be so, dot these I's and cross these T's of Christianity, and it'll all work out. No. I'm saying take courage, but that courage needs to be from God. That holy fire, that divine nerve, that secret, and that forerunner of blessing. We need some courage. And just like salvation is for the taking, courage is for the taking. We can ask God to help us. And so let's have a word of prayer. And Brother Derek will come, and we'll have an invitation song. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord. The Bible does. It says it plain as day. We saw several verses where it says, take courage. Take courage. Just take it. And Lord, it's up to us to take it. But if we take it, then it will do what you promised it'll do. It'll guide us. It'll give us that fire. It'll give us that faith that we need to have. It'll give us that confidence to do those things that you've commanded us to do. Lord, I just ask you to help us all, Lord, to desire it. And Lord, help us to take it. Let's all stand.